I find I lost my shit at my husband a few times about not having everything put away, because in the caravan, if you take something out and use it, it has to go back in its place. Otherwise, you live in chaos, because with the kids' toys and, you know, you have a couple of days of – yeah, the small area and space you have, you have to put everything back. And same as, you know, I'm as much – like I love doing art and crafts with the kids, but then you get – one of the kids spills glitter in the floorboards and it's raining outside, so you can't even go get outside to clean, and you know, so you have those days you're like, ooh.
Welkom terug bij Momlife Crisis. Wat leuk dat jullie allemaal weer luisteren. Vandaag zit ik hier met mijn goede vriendin Chelsea. Zij is een Nieuw-Zeelandse die in Australië woont. Zij is getrouwd met een Nederlandse man en hem ken ik van mijn opleiding in Breda. En zo ken ik ze. Ik heb ze al een hele tijd niet gesproken en ze zijn eindelijk weer in Nederland na een hele lange tijd. COVID, waarbij ze het land niet uit mochten. En zij hebben met z'n vieren hebben zij echt een heel gaaf... zijn ze een avontuur aangegaan met de kinderen, zijn ze in een caravan heel Australië rond gaan trekken. En toen kwam COVID, dus daar zitten heel veel interessante verhalen in. Ik ben heel benieuwd hoe die tijd was en ik wil dat heel graag met jullie delen. Even een disclaimer vooraf, ze spreekt Engels. Ze spreekt vrij snel, dus het kan zijn dat je wat moeite hebt misschien om sommige stukken te begrijpen. En ik ga er in het begin een aantal vragen stellen om jullie mee te nemen in de situatie, hoe die was voordat ze vertrokken, wie zij zijn zo. Dus laten we beginnen en veel plezier met luisteren naar deze aflevering.
Hey Charles, hi.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm really happy to see you in the Netherlands and I'm really happy that you want to be on my show with me together. It's real nice.
I know, very exciting and new.
Yeah, it's a bit awkward, isn't it? One of the things I always do is ask people to introduce themselves first. So can you please tell me a little bit about who you are, how many kids you have and how old they are?
Yeah, sure. My name's Chelsea Reedkirk. My husband is Dutch. We met in Byron Bay in 2010. Travelled a lot, moved around a lot, and then finally had kids when our oldest is 6 now. Her name's Miller, and the youngest is Livy. She's 4. Two completely different children. And, yeah. We live in Australia. We've just recently moved to Hervey Bay, which is a much more smaller town, but yeah.
Awesome. And you called me and you were like, we have another one of these crazy plans like we always do. And you're like, we're going to rent out our house and buy a caravan and take the kids traveling around Australia. Can you tell me a little bit about how that idea came about and how that happened?
So we were living in Perth originally. We both came back from Holland very broke, so we moved to Perth to get into the mining industry and make some money quickly. But when I fell pregnant, we did that for about 5 years, but then when I fell pregnant with Miller, I wanted to move back to the Gold Coast, which is where all of my friends and where I had lived previously before moving to Holland. Thinking that I would go back to the lifestyle and what things would be like when I lived there previously. But obviously having a baby, things change a lot. We moved back to the Gold Coast and it was great for the first maybe 6 or 8 months. Then obviously being a new mum has its own challenges, and that was all a lot of different things for me. But we both were not feeling settled in the Gold Coast. We knew... we didn't really know what we wanted to do and we didn't really know where we wanted to go. And it wasn't until we had Livy that we felt really stuck. I felt like Peter just went away to work. I would be at home with the kids. I would just crave for the time that he came home so we could do fun things together as a family. And then he would go back to work and I would get into the same, like, isolate myself in the house because it was just too hard to go anywhere with the two little ones. So I'd isolate myself a little bit. And then some friends of ours who have got 4 kids, decided to sell up everything, which was they both owned businesses. They both were, pretty high up in their companies. And they sold everything that they had and went traveling in a bus, renovated bus for a few years. Mm-hmm. So when they started that process, it got us thinking like, well, why can't we do that? Mm-hmm. Peter's working away. And originally it was obviously before COVID. We had planned that when we could travel, we worked out Peter's our finances on his wage. So as we would travel around the main cities, we could always fly back to Brisbane where he could get then either another flight or a bus up to Dysart, which is where he works, is mm-hmm. inland of Queensland. Yeah.
So how does that work? Because you're saying he goes to work and he comes back and you would be alone with the kids.
Like- yeah, so originally he worked FIFO, which is fly in, fly out. That's a two-in-one roster, which meant you were away at work for 2 weeks. You come back at work at home for 1 week. Mm-hmm. Then he went to what they call Dido, which is drive in, drive out. Yeah. So they don't supply the flights. Mm-hmm. You have to drive yourself or usually live within a town or something close to it. And he got week on, week off. So he would work for 7 days and then have 7 days off. Okay. So when he got that roster, we thought it would be great because we could travel for the 7 days mm-hmm. that he was home, make it to a town or somewhere where he could get himself back to Brisbane, and then they would fly him from Brisbane.
Yep.
And flights were all around, you know, $130, $150 mm-hmm. each way. It wasn't that expensive.
Yep. And a dollar to euro rate is, at least Australian dollar is a lot. Better. So
yeah.
A euro will buy you, I guess, almost $2?
No, right I think now, it's about $1.50 at $1.50, the moment. Yeah.
So that'll be around like 70 euros, 75 euros yeah. for a flight every week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're and back every week. Then obviously COVID hit. So we had our house rented out. It was a whirlwind few months. The week that our house got rented out, we were in the first caravan park just down the road. We were still putting stuff into storage. Then we got kicked out of the first caravan park saying there's a pandemic and you'll have to leave. And we had nowhere to go. We had the caravan the first week of our once-in-a-lifetime trip.
Yeah.
And they got, basically said you have to leave. Peter was still away. I had to get my stepdad to drive down from Hervey Bay because I had never towed a caravan. I didn't know what to do. It was all hit on him at the time. Mm-hmm. And we went straight to Hervey Bay, which is where my parents live to start with. So that was the first initial heat of the lockdowns, I guess. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know what.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was actually funny. My oldest, she was 2.5 at the time. We said, oh, we're just going to be at Minnie and Opa's, which is what they call their grandparents, for a couple of days. And she laughed and said, no, we're going to be here for 5 months. And we all were cracked up laughing. And we were like, there's no way she knows. And we were actually there for like nearly four. So,
And so, how old was Livy then when you left?
She was, I think she was seven. No, she would have been about 13 months, 14 months. She'd had her first birthday.
But that's still really little.
Like, yeah, really
sleep
little.
Sleep is still all over the place and everything. And,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I was lucky. She is a kid who actually likes sleeping. So she would really tell me, like, mm-hmm. I want to go to bed and have mm-hmm. a sleep and wouldn't really need it. So that side of things wasn't so bad. But traveling was difficult because you would have to time the times you drove to where you had to be for a certain time. And there was a lot of learning. A lot of learning. Because even caravanning life has its own, I guess, quirks. There's mm-hmm. everybody knows they all the golden oldies, which they call the grey nomads traveling, which mm-hmm. is the most of the people caravanning on the road. If you ever wanted to get to free camps or really good beach camps and stuff like that, they get up at like 5:30 in the morning and travel till 10 and they're set up and packed up in 10. But we wouldn't even be really ready to
running.
Go, ready to pack up. But that was the hardest thing, was getting up early to get going in the mornings, because the kids just, they wake up and they want to play and they want to have breakfast, and then you got to clean everyone. And then it's, you know, packing up is also a massive process to get going for mm-hmm. each day. So, yeah, that was, yeah, that's, yeah, as I say, that was once we actually got going.
Yeah. But then
Peter was still on 1 week in, 1 week out.
Yeah.
So then you would have to do that every week.
Yeah.
What was that like?
So once we actually got initially going, which obviously a lot of things changed, we had to change our tow vehicle. Once we were in Hervey Bay, we realised our van was too heavy for what we needed to do. We had to change a lot, but then COVID, we couldn't get any products and things, which is why we stayed at my parents for 4 months. It wasn't really the lockdown time, but we just had to sort a lot of stuff. And then once we got going, we realised that going over the borders was going to be a problem. We also, the flights were either non-existent that we originally had planned for him to come back, or we couldn't really, there was a lot of border closures, so they wouldn't even let you. So we kind of, we're pretty easy people that we go with the flow a little bit. It was obviously stressful and you had to make some big decisions, but we decided we'd just do Queensland as much as we could. Which is a huge place anyway. We basically would map out a plan to where Peter could either sometimes drive from work. Mm-hmm. So we would we travelled inland where he could drive within our easy drive is about 6 hours. So as long as we were somewhere that he could get drive to his work in Dysart was about 6 hours. Because we couldn't obviously fly, then I would get left at the caravan at a campground with no car as well, which was really isolating. Yeah. So he would sometimes drive, and then, which was actually most of the time, a lot of the times in Queensland, there is actually bus systems, which mm-hmm. is work organisers to get to the town. So that was really good along the coast. We could anywhere from Cairns to Mackay, down that borderline, he could get a bus in, which is good because then I was left with a car. Mm-hmm. But the times that I was in little wee country Hickville towns with no car and just stuck in a dusty, no grass, no playground caravan park was, it had its moments. It had its moments. Mm. I try and always look at the positives on things, but sometimes you do get a bit over that environment,
mm-hmm.
Which is probably what, it's really hard because everybody, when you talk up this thing you're going to do of traveling, mm-hmm. like how exciting it's going to be and how fun it's going to be and how the things, then you have this flip side of like, oh, shit. Like, this sucks. Yeah. And the kids are bored and, and then Peter would come home and we'd have an awesome time. We'd go adventuring. So I would use the time home. I would be like online a lot researching the area of what we could do when he would come home. But then on his side, I'd be like, come on, let's go, go, go. Mm. Well, I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do this. And he would be tired from work.
Yeah,
and
just want to relax.
He wants to relax and have chill time. So mm-hmm. we'd have to then, so it was a really big balancing act. I'm lucky that he's really he just does things even if he doesn't really want to. So he's good. He's such a good man like that. He mm-hmm. would be like, okay, cool, let's do it. And he would do it for the girls because, how much fun they have mm-hmm. and stuff. But, there was like a lot of times that I probably drank wine a little bit too early in the day. 2 o'clock would be just to get through through bedtime, and I'd crave bedtime just to have some alone time where you don't have noise.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
Yeah, because there was still a lot of lockdowns and stuff. Mm. So you would be alone with your kids, but would you also like be alone at the campsites?
Well, we were really lucky because mm-hmm. The borders would close and a lot of the main lockdowns were happening in Victoria and Melbourne, like Victoria, Melbourne and in Sydney and New South Wales and stuff. Queensland is kind of like the rest of the world, but 15 years ago. So they kind of were like, oh, there's something going on outside. When you're inland Queensland, they're really not following the same rules and regulations that the cities and towns are, if that makes sense. So you could still go walk around freely in the towns and things. There was a few times we had caravan park lockdowns, but they were only for a couple of days and we would just then pack up and move to one area that wasn't. Mm-hmm. And that would be purely if there was a close contact where they had to do contact tracing and stuff, they would lock down for a day or two. So, but we were quite lucky in that way that we avoided the really like stuck in a caravan. The people that we were, the friends of ours that had the bus, they got locked down over in WA and had to then hire a house because they were pretty much locked down and stuck. they couldn't go anywhere. Their borders were stuck and everything was so they were really like in the house lockdown. So in saying that, we were still quite free within reason, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. And that, but like, what about the kids? Like, of course, Miller she's a bit older. Livy probably doesn't really have any understanding around that time, at least.
Yeah.
Like, what did you tell Miller? Like, how did you prepare her for traveling and just being in that situation where you can't really go anywhere and staying at your mum?
Yeah, it was really hard for her. She's quite a kid that's like, her personality is, she gets very attached to things and places and people. So she remembers everyone. She remembers the feelings she has at places and things like that. So she actually has a really good memory, and I think her resilience in that way isn't like Livy is really easy. She doesn't really care where she goes as long as she's with you and she's got some food and she's fine. She's a really cruisy, easy kid. Where Miller, I had to really like talk her through things a lot, but I've always had really good communication with her. She's a very intelligent kid. So you just have really open conversations, and she like knows the truth, like what COVID is, what was happening, why it was, you know. And even when she got COVID herself, she was like, kind of like, oh, it's not as bad as, you know, like it was really her way of like putting all the pieces together. So along the way, we were just really honest as much as we, because at the time we didn't really know what was going on either. Like you hear a lot of what's happening overseas, but Australia is kind of in its own little bubble, and they really tried to have the whole idea of let's lock it out and not have it. And then they realized that wasn't going to happen. So we were kind of able to see what was happening overseas, and we were about maybe 5 months behind, 4 months behind in that process, you know, like what was happening. So it didn't kind of have its big explosion like it did everywhere else. Yeah.
And so you're alone for a week with the kids. Like, I remember when, well, I don't remember when, I mean, I remember it like yesterday.
Yeah.
Because it was literally yesterday. Like sometimes you're really like kind of like scared or anxious for like bedtime, like putting the kids to bed. Did you have kind of that feeling when it became towards the end of the week and Peter would leave and you'd be like, oh, I'm going to be alone with the kids for another week? Or
yeah, it was funny because I would use that last couple of days to kind of get ready. It was like my preparation time. So I would do all my groceries. I would have everything kind of prepped. I would do some extra cooking. He would take the kids playing or do something. I would do extra meal prep cooking. I would try and prepare myself, I guess, in the way for the week ahead, to make sure that I didn't have to need anything or, you know, like whatever needed to be done. All the washing was done, everything, all the beds were changed. So I had that freedom to like just, you know, do what I had to while he was away. Yeah, so I'd use that time really to get organized. That kind of process wasn't so bad. The nights, obviously, I felt like when Peter was home, everything does go smoother and the kids are in bed earlier and they get done. But everything still happens. It just doesn't happen as organized or as timely, I guess, than when he's, when he's home. So you just, you do what you can, what you have to do. Yeah.
Was that something you had to get used to as well? Like you told me yesterday that you were kind of like, you really like on a schedule and stuff and you really like having that day set up like that. Was that something you kind of had to work through from, you know, having being in the house and having like everything a certain
way? No, I think you have to do it even more in the caravan.
Really?
Yeah. So as I was saying yesterday, like about my organization, I'm quite I think spontaneous and kind of free-spirited as I am, I'm also very structured and organized. So I like to go, oh, let's go to Japan tomorrow. And then I will research the crap out and have everything organized for Japan tomorrow. If that makes sense.
Yeah,
like I'm very like too double-sided like that. So in the caravan, it was like everything condensed. So you have to kind of forecast where you're going to be for what you're going to need to be organized, but you also have no room. So you can't just overpack and think what you might need. It's a really like big balancing act, I guess. Yeah, so I find I lost my shit at my husband a few times about not having everything put away, because in the caravan, if you take something out and use it, it has to go back in its place. Otherwise, you live in chaos, because with the kids' toys and, you know, you have a couple of days.
The little room that you have.
The small area and space you have. You have to put everything back. And same as, you know, I love doing art and crafts with the kids, but then you get one of the kids spills glitter in the floorboards and it's raining outside, so you can't even go get outside to clean. And, you know, so you have those days you're like, you know, so it's, I found that it was like being at home and in that organizing structure times 100, because you can't just leave the washing sitting on the bed or on the spare bed for a week. You have to do it straight away. So you have to be very, structured and organized that way. Yeah. And sometimes you might not know, you don't might not have power for 3 or 4 days when you're traveling somewhere. So you've got to get all your washing and all the everything done before you go, because you have no power to use your washing machine and things like that. Like, you have power for your lights and all the basics, but we didn't have it for your things, you know, like anything to plug in, any of your appliances or your washing machine or anything like that. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. If you go off grid, that's,
Did you go off grid a lot?
We did go off grid a lot with Peter. I never did with him gone. You firstly run out of water before you run out of power. So that's the what, you know, you can only do about, we found about 3 or 4 days without going to a town and getting either more water or having a drive. Yeah. So you're charging your batteries and stuff. Mm-hmm. Probably 3 days was 3-4 days.
And it's probably even less with kids. Like, I think back
they turn the tap on and then like, oh, I'm just brushing my teeth, and then they walk outside and you're like,
Well, not even that, just all the amount of cleaning and everything, you're like washing up all the time. You're like, oh, let me just get like a little cloth and wipe this and wipe that.
Wet
like,
wipes were definitely a godsend. We used wet wipes a lot more than water when we were free camping. So and that was even for showering. Sometimes you'd be like, trying to make it just so you have enough drinking water. So you'd be like, we're not showering tonight. You're having a wet wipe bath. But it was good. There was a lot of places you'd go swimming and stuff, and the kids only need then like a rinse or something. So it was, that side of it was all right. But
what are some of your best memories of that time?
I have heaps. I loved like the hiking with the kids. We did Carnarvon Gorge, which was she was only 5 at the time, or 4.5, 5 at the time. And she did 17 Ks pretty much hiking the whole way. And she's such a little trooper. She just did the whole thing. Where my 2-year-old was in the backpack crying that she was tired from sitting in the backpack. So that just goes to show their personality difference. And my oldest was like, charging along, really proud of herself and like that she completed it. And the other one was just crying and dramatic that she was tired and dusty and thirsty. And so, but we had a lot of really good moments like that. We had Cape York was amazing. That was like a lot of preparation and a lot of organization. I think I would have in hindsight now waited till the kids were older. Having a kid that still needed a bottle and nappies changed and things like that was pretty difficult when you're really like remote like that. There are a lot of really awesome times in saying that we were ready to finish when we did. I think if the things had gone how we originally planned, I think we'd still be traveling now. If COVID hadn't hit, I think we would have traveled indefinitely and we could do that flying thing. But I got to the point where I craved stability and structure, and I wanted to join a gym again. I wanted to get friends again. I wanted to have dinner at friends' houses go out for restaurants, and because you can't, you're traveling with your kids.
You can't have a babysitter.
You don't want to trust some stranger in a strange town that you don't know, even though a lot of people offer. It's not something that you feel comfortable with. And then what do? You have a babysitter come over and sit on your bed in the caravan while the kids are asleep in a bunk bed. Like, it's just, it's odd. It's not like a house. So it's very intimate.
And for the kids as well, like, did you also want a bit more stability for them?
Yeah, and my oldest was craving starting school. So I originally said I was probably going to homeschool her for the prep year, which is 5 to 6 or 5 or 6 age, the first year, and then maybe year 1 or 2 just at the time when we were planning, we were kind of going to go indefinitely. Mm-hmm. And then she would look, we would drive past towns and there would be a school with all the kids playing in the playground, or they would be walking to school in their uniforms or something. Mm-hmm. And she would like have her hands on the glass of the window, like pining, like, wait, when do I get to start school? I'm old enough. And sometimes at one moment she came back from a playground and she said, hey, Mom, there's this little boy over there and he is 6 and he's turning 7 and she was only maybe 4 and a half at the time. Mm-hmm. And he goes to school and I already know I am way smarter than him. So why can I not go to school too? She said, he's silly. He just like whatever he was doing. And she goes, I'm smarter. I know that you shouldn't do that. You know? So the fact she was trying to convince herself that she was smarter than a 6-year-old to go to school. So yeah. And then yeah, she was ready to start school. She needed that stability. Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things that's a big topic that comes up a lot, it's like having a village.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a village to raise a child and you're by yourself a lot.
Yeah.
And even if you're not, you're with Peter, so it's the four of you, or basically just the two of you because you're taking care of the kids.
Yeah.
What was the hardest part?
I think that was a big thing for us. It's hard too because we moved to the Gold Coast and I had a lot of friends that I lived there with originally and they had all moved away, moved back home to New Zealand or wherever they'd kind of come from. Gold Coast was kind of a place that we all moved to when we were young, partied and had heaps of fun and made a lot of really good, close, solid friends. But then they all had children and moved back to their towns and cities.
It's like our breeder.
Yeah. So I've got a lot of amazing friends around the world, but you don't have that village and that support network. So that was the one of the reasons we kind of wanted to like leave the Gold Coast. And then we were like, with my husband, he's obviously, his village is here in Holland. And we knew we didn't want to move back to Holland. Like we never say never, but it wasn't on the cards at the time. And then we have this situation where we're like even more isolated. We don't even have any of the, as much as you think caravanning and living freely, it was actually less than you would, it sounds like, if that makes sense. Yeah. So it was really isolating and we missed, in saying that, the people you meet on the road are really friendly and chatty. And there's always someone to sit and have a drink with, which is why I've put on a lot more kilos than I. Afternoon wine starting at 3 o'clock every day while the kids are on the playground. But you meet lots of other traveling families. They're in the same sort of situation. You get lots of life stories. You have really cool conversations about other people's stories, like really, you know, things that you learn about jobs that you never knew existed what people have come from and their life stories and stuff and how people meet. There's a lot of international couples, which is, you know, our situation and stuff too. So you sit like from all walks of life and then you have these big deep and then everyone packs up and goes home. And then you're like, oh, we'll stay in touch.
But you never do.
Well, you do on Facebook and things like that, but you never really communicate again. You're just friends on Facebook that you might see what they're doing. You know, it's never personal anymore.
Yeah.
So for us, we really crave that having, I think, friends that are family and that your kids then grow up together and they're friends too. And, you know, having like
someone you can call.
Yeah, and like if actually someone you know you can call that you know and you're not bothering, that you can actually say like, oh, I just need a, you know, 5 minutes, like just can you, or even just come over and talk to me and have a wine and I need to cry. You know what I mean? Like whatever, it's just, we just didn't have that. And we've found that now in Hervey Bay, which has been actually really nice for us. We've got a couple that we've met that have actually got teenage kids, so they're in a different stage of their life, but it we've gelled together really nicely as a you know group, and then we've met people from that and it's all kind of grown naturally, which has been good. One thing I did find with caravanning, I felt like from the day we left to when we finished and sold the caravan, we were constantly fighting against making it work, if that makes sense. Like it felt like Peter and I's idea of what it was going to be and our planning and everything, it felt like the universe was constantly putting things.
Oh, you told me about that, yeah.
Yeah, blocks in our way. And we're always people that like we worked to make things happen. So we constantly would make it work and make it happen. But it wasn't until we sold the caravan and all of that process all was so easy and everything worked out so well. And then we got a rental when the rental market was crazy, you know, like there was 500 people going for one house and we got it the first house we looked at. And then we looked at a house and we've just bought it 6 months later. And, you know, like everything from that process, it's just been so easy. And it made us look back and go, wow, we were really fighting to make it work when it was really not going to.
I understand what you mean. This is a completely different situation, but I had like I had three cars, not at the same time, but I had one car and someone ran into it and I was like, okay, I have to get a new one then. I got a new one, someone ran into it again and it just consecutively kept getting worse. Like the accident, it was never my fault, but it was always someone else. And like the third time my car got completely totaled and I'm like, okay, I'm not getting a car anymore because I feel like if I get another car the next time I will literally die.
It's got worse and worse.
It's trying to tell me something. And I remember you saying that like every, like, oh my gosh, I feel like the universe is throwing so much at us and like
we and we're not listening but because we were like we're so no this is our plan and this is what we're doing and it's going to be fun and we're going to make it work and then you get to the point where you're like, what the actual fuck? Like, what should I do?
Yeah. I don't want to do it anymore. Yeah. Especially when everything goes really easily after that, you're like,
since we've decided we moved and sold the caravan last September. And the amount that has just fallen into place, we've met groups of families in the same, like who have moved to Harvey Bay recently who also don't have friends, who have got kids the same age. And everything has just been so easy and pleasant and nice. And yeah, it just works. And it was the first time my husband actually said that he felt like this trip, now we're coming back to Holland this holiday, that he feels like he's going on holiday and then he will be going home.
Yeah.
Where before it was always, I'm going home and then we come back here to where we live. Mm. You know what I mean? It was the first time that he said it. So that's quite nice to know that he's even settled in a different way that he didn't know he wasn't, if that made sense.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I've also really seen the change in you because I, like, every time I would call you, like, we – obviously, the time difference is crazy. Like, I go to bed when you get up and the other way around. And we wouldn't, like, there would be times where we wouldn't talk. And, I mean, there's kids and stuff get in between.
Yeah.
And then when we would talk, you would always be like, oh, yeah, this is our plan. I'm like, what the actual fuck are you going to do now? Like, I just remember even from when we lived together in Breda, that's how I know Peter and Chelsea. Peter was in my school, in my study, and I started working at a cafe in Breda, and Chelsea was there, and we became really good friends. And I just remember
love at first sight. I was like, you are now my new best friend, whether you want to be or not.
And it worked, thankfully. What was I going to say? Oh, shoot. I just remember you always, even from there, from Breda, you were always like, okay, we're going to do this crazy plan and we're going to do that crazy plan. And I was always like, and I would hang up and my mom or whoever would be like, oh, what are Peter and Chelsea doing? I'm like, I can't even begin to explain because I don't even understand myself. And now you're still you because you're doing another like crazy buying a house and redoing it and everything. But it's a different thing from like you're actually putting roots down and not being like, okay, we're just going to stay here for a little bit or flip a house so that we can move on from there. And I can really see.
Yeah. We've been really transient. I think our whole my whole life, I think I've kind of never had the environment where I grew up in, say in a hometown or a home place, like the place I did grow up. My father still lives there, but obviously I don't have a relationship with him anymore, so that's not my home. Then when my parents divorced and I moved with my mum, it was the town she grew up, but not really, you know, like, and then I moved to the Gold Coast, and I think that was the place that I found that was mine and I felt as home. But then my husband didn't feel at home there as much. So that makes you not feel as at home. So then now our transient lifestyle since we've been together has been Holland and then WA and then, you know, we've moved around a lot. We're always constantly doing things. So I think caravanning was our way to kind of get out of that, but we didn't really know where we were going or what we were doing. Yeah. And it's kind of worked out in the way, like, in, even though that whole plan of the caravanning trip for 2 years didn't go as what we wanted to, it was so good for us as a family, I guess. You learn a lot, like you clean, you know, you're cleaning out caravan toilets from each other and you know, like you're in the nitty gritty of it. Really, it's like,
I'm just now thinking of like kids get sick.
Yeah. A lot. We've had, yeah, we've been really lucky. We've only had the gastro go through once. Oh my gosh. But like in saying that, I think they're healthier being not in kindies and things like that and outside and free and, you know, we had a lot more like animal bites and stings and things like that than probably would be before. But they're very, very easy kids now in any environment. Like now I take them anywhere. There's no, they will instantly make friends with any kids around them because they're so used to having to do that at every playground we stop at or any wherever. They would just be like, especially my oldest, she's like, hello, my name's Miller. Do you want to be friends? Okay, cool. Let's do this. And she's, you know, good to go. They don't get shy around adults. They can speak clearly to everybody, you know. So in saying that, even when we were traveling, we'd find places that didn't have kids or playgrounds or anything, but my oldest would rock up to some little lady sitting there knitting and she'd be like, hello, what's your name? Do you have grandkids? Oh, blah, blah, blah. And she would, you know, start talking to and they love it. You know, the old retired couples that haven't had grandkids around, they would love it. So it was really nice to have that too and then see the development in the kids in that way. My youngest is second children are just a zero fucks given kind of kid, and she just is the same. She's just really easy and chill like that. So in seeing how they've kind of grown up and developed, I like that they've had that time with us, you know, especially that first few years, to be able to give them that and not be in daycare or whatever every day, like a lot of families do. I think we've been lucky in that way that we've been able to have that time together. Even though I was like, there was probably drops in times that, you know, like everyone isn't perfect mum, you know, and I would be resenting them and wanting to get away from them and being completely touched out. And then other days I'm like, as soon as I'm away from them, I'm like looking at a picture of them. You're like, you know, shut up.
That's every mom ever. They're like, oh my God, I can't wait to get away from my kids. And then you're like, oh, I really miss them.
So it's ridiculous, we are
stupid.
Stupid
nature, I hate
But yeah.
Okay. So you're settled now. You're redoing a house. The kids are in school or going to school, kindy, close to your parents again, chilling.
Yeah.
Have you had a good life?
Am I dying now?
Are you ready to go into like
normal? I don't think Peter and I will always ever be just like Stepford family that are just picket fence and once we settle down. So the property we've bought is a massive property right near the beach. Our plan is to build a two-bedroom Airbnb house in the backyard. We're also going to do a little like unit thing. So I'd say in that environment, we're going to have people coming and going. We're kind of transient traveling people. So I think we're kind of now thinking we might bring people to us instead of being like traveling. So, and you know, my husband, I'd like him to be able to work less. So if we can make something that would make us comfortable that he doesn't have to be away as much. In saying that, a week on, week off roster is amazing for our family. He gets to have, a lot of people think it's, oh, how could you be away from your kids like that? And how could you, you know, like, I think a lot of wives don't like it because they miss their husbands and they do. But the time that we get together when he's home is so much better than just having that hour or two of dinner before and bedtime, bath time like you do most nights or most families do. We get to have 4 or 5 solid whole days together.
Yeah, just more quality time.
It is really good quality time. And it's in the day when you've got energy and you're not tired and you're not cranky and you're not rushing home from work to cook dinner, to do the routine. So in saying that, our life isn't as like organized and structured mm-hmm. like that. It is just living for the weekends because mm-hmm. it's not. But we still both want to travel and we want our kids to travel. It's just going to be different. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll be on school holidays and it'll yeah. be, you know, like it'll be
inevitable.
The three, yeah. 2-3 week little trips and stuff. Yeah. But we want to be able to make enough money that we can mm-hmm. still do that. We mm-hmm. don't want to, I don't think we'll ever be, I don't know, just okay with
I know what you mean.
Our four walls, if that makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah,
you know?
I know what you mean.
And as I say, we're taking on a massive project. I think our renovation's going to be a 10-year project as well. Oh so,
okay, so that, everybody listening.
That'll keep us busy. Yeah.
Let's kind of end on that note. In 10 years, if you want to go visit yeah. Australia,
come oh, no, to you can come next year. Our yeah. Airbnb will be ready next year.
Come to Harvey Bay. They've got their priorities in order. Their Airbnb will be finished before their actual house. All right. Chelsea, thank you so much for coming on this podcast with me and being awkward and just chatting and telling everybody else about your experience. And I think it's really valuable to learn and hear from other parents how their parenting is. And, you know, the reason I started this podcast was because I found being a mum and that transition really struggling. And I was always wondering, like, how do other people do it? And it's really nice to hear all these stories and everything. And so thank you very much for joining me. I have one final question before we leave. I ask every guest this. What kind of do you have a piece of unsolicited advice that you just want to throw out there before we turn off?
Oh, okay. Probably the biggest thing I can say is that just like keep it real. I think a lot of people try and make it look like everyone's got it together, which makes other people feel like they have to try and get it together. I don't think as mums we're as honest as we probably should be in some situations. Mm-hmm. Like if you're struggling, say so, because the person next to you is probably struggling too. And sometimes you just need the other person to say, oh, look, me too. And you're like, oh, it is okay. You know, I think that's probably the biggest thing is like, mm-hmm. just keep it real, like really be honest and yeah. And I don't know, keep people close to you that you need close. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So everybody listening, please keep it real.
Dankjewel.
Bedankt voor het luisteren en tot de volgende aflevering. Doei.
Bye.